Welcome back in. It is Wilde and Tausch on a Tuesday. Greg Matzik in for Jason Wilde. Jason Wilde in for Tauscher, I guess. Well, whatever the case, he's off to Packers OTA practice. The final block of OTAs wrapping up this week. The final on-field portion of the workout block is open to media today. Jason will head over to the field, and we'll talk to him about 11:15. And we'll also dive into more to this Milwaukee Bucks situation. Is a developing situation as I run point guard here. I don't know who will run point guard for the Brooklyn Nets tonight, but it will not be Kyrie Irving, who is out. So you might see a little Mike James. Is that scary at all? You might see Chris Chioza, who Badgers fans still would prefer to erase from their minds, right?
Oh, not that guy.
The runner as a member of the Florida Gators to sink the Badgers ship in the NCAA tournament. After Zach Showalter did the belt celebration on an improbable three. Let's forget about that. That also, by the way, Jesse, another instance in why you cannot take winning for granted, regardless of the situation on the other side, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And as a Wisconsin sports fan, you and I and all of our fans, we have been conditioned to believe that heartbreak is the only way. That once in a blue moon, a team is going to rise above it all and earn an NBA championship, a Super Bowl title, a World Series championship, an NCAA championship. But in my lifetime, only the Green Bay Packers have done any of the above. The Bucks got close against Kawhi and the Raptors and then fell apart. The Brewers got to a Game 7 at home against the Dodgers in the NLCS and lost. The Badgers had a double-digit lead on Duke in the 2015 NCAA championship game, and then Grayson Allen happened. That game also ended in heartbreak. Oh, by the way, the year before, Andrew Harrison knocked down a long three-pointer to sink the Badgers' ship. Fourth and 26, last year's NFC title game. Do you think anybody was commenting on the Packers' offensive line and the woes and shambles that it was with injury concerns and David Bakhtiari out? I don't think so. That is why I believe if the Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets, there will be no asterisk. I understand the Nets are different without James Harden. They are different without Kyrie Irving. But especially in this crazy compressed calendar of the NBA schedule, the players have been asked to do more than ever. Never has there been a more demanding schedule for the NBA player than this season. No asterisk needed. Win in advance. Survival of the fittest. That is where I stand. Jesse, I'm trying hard to convince you otherwise. I don't know if it's working. Maybe the poll results will ultimately sway your view on this whole thing.
Likely not.
It's all special to me. You win in the playoffs, it's all special.
At Wilde and Tausch, our Twitter poll, Cousin Sub of the Day, Greg Matzik, that's you, Greg, says there will be no asterisk if the Bucks advance past the Nets. Is it less special if your favorite team wins big games due to injuries on the opposing team? Right now, closing in on 300 votes, 90% holding strong, no, all wins are equal. 10% who are correct, yes. Not as special. I have the closest thing I could find on the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line to an agreement with me, although it has been unanimously opposed. I have not seen one text that has full-on said yes. They agree with what my my side of this debate is. But Will in Milwaukee chimes in with this. 844-770-3776. Yes, I'd like to say we beat teams at full strength so that around the league and on the internet, there's no way analysts and talking heads can deny the Bucks' greatness. But also, I don't care at all what everyone thinks. I just want the win. Move on to the Eastern Conference Finals and see what happens next.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of a hedge, but that's the point. I think the ultimate point is there is plenty of work to be done. Not only two wins against the Nets, but you'll have to beat the 76ers or Hawks in the seven-game series. You'll have to beat, I don't know, Utah, Phoenix, or Kawhi and the Clippers in a seven-game series in the NBA Finals. So many believed, the pundits, the so-called experts, that the winner of this series would go on to win the NBA championship. And that was, you know, after LeBron and AD exited, injury issues as well. But Phoenix could have made the argument they would have won that series anyway. They steamrolled Denver. That was no problem. Denver also a team battling injury. But Jamal Murray's injury happened during the regular season. So does that put it in any different of a category? Denver was shorthanded, no doubt. They were able to earn a series win, move on to round two. They got beat by a better team. I don't think the Bucks are a better team at full strength than the Nets are at full strength. I believe it would have been a compelling series, no doubt about that. But Brooklyn was my pick to go to the NBA Finals. I'm just not apologizing for it if the Bucks win, because there's still plenty of work to do. Mark is in New Berlin. Mark, where do you stand here? Can you settle the debate?
Yeah, I stand with Jesse on this one, and I'm going to bring the Packers into this also. The thing with, you know, you can't compare a team with two superstars down. And Dante DiVincenzo, he's a role player. He's a sub, you know, you could put any sixth man in the NBA, any eighth man, any 12th man in the NBA to do what he does. I mean, so, you know, this is an asterisk. And the pool would be totally changed. If Giannis was hurt, you would say, oh, if the Nets win, is there an asterisk if they won? We'd have everybody would say yes. Now, getting back to the Packers, as Jesse knows, I'm a big Jordan Love fan.
Yeah, this is the Scalzo and Bruss guy, Greg. This is Mark in New Berlin, the Mark in New Berlin.
Yeah, I'm a big Jordan Love, and he's going to change all this losing habits, but that's another story for another day. Now, with the Packers, if there was an asterisk on last season, Aaron Rodgers would have not have been the MVP. He wouldn't have been throwing touchdowns against practice league players. Who was that one game? San Francisco? They didn't even have any defensive backs or safeties. A couple of those teams didn't even have any. They were switching players around. He would have never been the MVP in a regular season if all those teams didn't have all that COVID issues. We just happened not to have many COVID issues. And this wouldn't even been a story. He would have been traded this year. But nope, that's so. So there is an asterisk here. You can't say two of the stars are out and it's still a regular game. I remember playing high school sports, and we were hoping the other teammate players would sprain an ankle, you know, because we know that's the only way we're going to beat this team. That's with the Bucks. That's the only way that we're going to beat this team. So, you know, I have to agree with Jesse. As hard as I believe, because he isn't on the Love train, you know, I have to agree with Jesse. You know, this isn't normal. You can't you're comparing apples to oranges. You cannot do that. And I know all teams have injuries.
It amazes me how wrong you are. I cannot believe that you are on the side with Jesse Nelson on this. It's a series. There's more work to be done. You are discrediting every other team that could stand in the Bucks' way of winning an NBA title. And to me, that is wrong. And if you want to go back and use football as an example, do you think the Packers go to the Super Bowl if David Bakhtiari is playing? Is anybody in Tampa? Is anybody around the league looking at that situation and saying that is the best left tackle in the NFL? If he's on the field, it's a different game, and the Packers end up beating Tampa Bay on their home field and advance into the Super Bowl. Is anybody talking about that? Does anybody remember it outside of Wisconsin?
But David Bakhtiari isn't the main superstars like Harden and Irving. I mean, that's like taking Rodgers and DeVonta.
He's not an all-pro.
I mean,
he's not the best at his position. He doesn't help the situation. You're wrong. There is no asterisk here.
Yeah, he helps the situation,
but he isn't like those type of players. You never
apologize for winning. We can win without Bakhtiari. We can't win without Rodgers. The Nets can't win without Harden and Irving.
They didn't win without Bakhtiari. They lost without him on the field. So he doesn't have the ball in his hand 10 times a game, right? It's different. I get that. But if you're going to apologize for winning, we will never see eye to eye. I don't get it. I don't know why you would ever apologize for winning. The road from start to finish, it's a war of attrition. It's survival of the fittest, especially this year. My God, look at the last calendar year of the NBA. You tell me there's a more challenging calendar year than what these players have experienced? I'll wait. I'll wait to see what you come up with. So, yes, part of the reason there were so many guys sitting out is in preparation for this moment, to be ready for the playoffs. And you know what? The Bucks did it better than anybody else to this point in the Eastern Conference.
I love you guys.
That was Mark in New Berlin's debut on Wilde and Tausch, and as honored as I am that he agreed with me, I'm not sure that was the backup I was looking for.
No, it was a fine call. I get it. I'm never going to trash anybody for making their point, right, as much as I might tell you you're wrong. My point is just that of an opinion, right? It's no different than what Mark had to say. I just don't believe you should ever apologize for winning. Ever. In any situation. All right, we are going to connect with Jason Wilde coming up in just a couple of minutes. He has made his way to Packers practice. I don't believe he's actually practicing today, but who knows? That may change. If it's helmets and shorts, hey, they may like Jason's shirt. Say, hey, we need you on the sidelines here, big boy. Will that be the case? And who is there, by the way? Also a good question. We'll check in with Jason coming up after this. It's Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance. My head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Stuck on the ground, but I just keep my head up high, 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 oh, high, high, high. Keeping my head up, up high, high.
Jason Wilde is still getting situated at Packers OTA practice, open and available for the media today. I think they do a full body cavity search, so that might take a little bit of time and presumably be uncomfortable. But nonetheless, Jason will connect with him in just a few moments.
Speaking of uncomfortable, Greg, what's your electro deal at?
Oh, gosh. All right, so for those who are just joining the program, my back is one gigantic monkey fist right now. I don't know what it is specifically, one certain specific thing that I did that I can point to and say, yep, that's where it started. It is probably just the slow erosion of the discs in my back. So if I go tubing, for example, I know I'm going to have a pretty painful next day. Playing golf, I can usually get through that. If I'm running 3-4 days a week, I'm going to have to see the chiropractor. So the chiropractor has become a thing for me, right? Like Christmas card list kind of stuff. He is, I send him a card. So I do have this little electrostimulation machine. You can get them on Amazon. They're like $30. And this goes back to when I was a college athlete, and, you know, you'd hook this up to a muscle area that was just not doing so hot, and it would help get you through. It'll help aid in the recovery. So I'm sure I've got a bulging disc, and I've got this stim machine, and it goes 0 to 8. I got it as high as 6, and we've been cooking on 6 here for the last probably 15 minutes. I've got 4 minutes left in this cycle, and then it shuts off after 30, and then you have to, you know, start it back up. So I'm thinking that right around the time we get to Whoa Nelly, I'll be able to put it to 7, and then maybe 8. 8 is the highest that it goes, and there's a picture of a gorilla who looks terrified on the number 8. So gorilla panic is where we might be pushing this thing before the end of the show. We can only hope. Now, I have not, I only have 2 of the electrode pads on my back right now. There is room on this little device for 2 additional. So I could do the quad here, but I don't know if I'm willing to take that on just yet. But it does feel like at level 3, it feels like the worst case of your foot falling asleep that you can ever recall. Right, like the 50,000 needles just being pushed into your foot. That was level 3. We are on level 6.5 right now.
So did the Mark in New Berlin call make it more painful or less painful? And will talking to Ron in the Key be more painful or less painful than 6.5?
Well, talking to Mark made me forget about the pain, so that was helpful, I guess. It was just more of a, right, to help disguise the pain. Ron and the Key, I can only assume, will do something similar. And I think Ron probably knows what I'm talking about here and what I'm hooked up to. Hello, Ron.
Yeah, Gregory. As I had a torn ACL in my life, and I pulled my back before I went to Hawaii a couple summers ago. Yeah, I've had different versions of what you're talking about. Although I thought it was like you had like the abdominizer on it, like in the movie about Bruce Lee, where you're just like, you know what? I don't work out enough. By the way, I hate you. So that even when I'm doing a radio show, I want to be basically doing sit-ups. So I'm going to set up, you know, hook this thing up to my abs. And get some exercise in. But the muscle stimulation, yeah, when you go through atrophy or something getting pulled, they use those electronic pulses. So I'm enough of an athlete to have experienced them, and definitely not enough of an athlete that I needed them. As far as an asterisk, I think people are confusing your and I's correct stance on, of course we don't think beating a team with Harden, KD, and Kyrie is the same as beating one without. We're just saying, who cares? We're not saying it's the same thing. We're saying, in the end, you give me the championship, and when they go through the list of on Wikipedia NBA champions, who the hell cares?
Trophy's still the same, right?
Yeah. If I go play a poker tournament and everyone else that is going to line up to play me somehow gets stuck in the elevator of the hotel and can't make it back and they give me $1 million, thank you. I don't care.
I'm not disagreeing with that point of view at all, but I'm saying, Ron, if you win a poker tournament by default or against a bunch of people that are playing for the first time, or if you win against Phil Hellmuth or any of the great poker players, like, it means more to beat the best of the best than it does to beat schmucks.
It is different in the history, in the long term. It won't be diminished. They will raise it on the rafters. The place will be packed. I promise you, they will have a parade and people will have to fight Homer from like going down, Grand Avenue naked, as he suggested that he would in the past if teams won championships. It'll all happen. You won't know the difference.
I am with you, Ron. Not a surprise.
Rebecca tells you were right about something, Jesse, and she doesn't mean it. You won't care.
No, I always care, Ron. I always care, and it's never happened to this point, so I'm still waiting for number
one
on that.
Ron, the out-of-Wisconsin example that I used was a few years ago. The Rockets led the Warriors 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. Then Chris Paul gets hurt. Didn't play the rest of the series. Golden State won the next two,
yes,
including Game 7 in Houston.
If they don't suspend what's his face? Draymond. They win that
yes.
title. And everything. The Sixers don't feel bad that Scotty Williams shouldn't have been suspended for going to the NBA Finals. No one feels bad
about
anything.
That is another great one.
Part of sports.
That is another great one in Bucks history. I used the Amare Stoudemire and the flagrant foul on Andrew Bogut, right? This happened during the regular season, but this is 2010. Jesse, this is the original Fear the Deer, the OG.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Sprained wrist, broken hand, dislocated elbow for a team that it had some momentum. It was the best Bucks team I recall since the big dog, Ray and Sam Cassell days. Like, this was the team that was going to win a playoff series. And to a Bucks fan, beating the Hawks in round one probably would have felt a little like the NBA Finals at that point. So no excuses, right? No apologies. Win in advance. You beat the Nets. There's still plenty of work to be done.
I love you guys.
All right. All right. We are going to connect with Jason Wilde coming up in just a few moments. He is good to go. He is at practice. Jason, are you with us?
Thanks for having me on the Greg and Ron show. I always enjoy Ron and Key's calls. Very insightful. Glad you brought up Scotty Williams here. And frankly, you guys can keep going. I am at practice at Clark Kinkle Field, and there are, I'm going to estimate, 45 of the 90 players here. Equanimeous St. Brown stuck around. I don't see any other wide receivers of any renown, including Davante Adams, so he'll have to wait to see my beautiful haircut till training camp. But yeah, it is I believe our buddy Rob Domofsky, sometimes Cousin Sub of the Day himself, used the phrase skeleton crew. I was going to say the ranks are thin, but 45 out of the 90 players on the roster are here, although all four of the quarterbacks that have been taking part of late, not number 12, of course, but my guy, Kurt Benkert, Jordan Love, Blake Bortles, and Jake Dolgala are all here. So they've got four quarterbacks, which may be the deepest position they have at practice right now.
So I'm confused, Jason, because I thought OTAs were like done last week. What is this today?
It is OTAs. So the way Matt LaFleur chose to structure this, and quite frankly, he's scheduled to speak with us on Thursday, and I am going to ask him this. Would he have been better served to put all OTAs first and then just end with the mini camp, which is what some teams are doing, including the Miami Dolphins, whose top corner is not attending their mandatory mini camp this week. But this is an OTA practice. This is a bunch of young guys that didn't feel like they could get out of attending. So the attendance is poor, but yes, this is technically an OTA practice. Last week was when you were required to be here, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't, and he may or may not have been fined for that. We don't know. But yeah, it is a thin group that will get to enjoy my curve-hugging shirt that I was so concerned about. No one, I don't even know how many of these guys even know who I am. That's how few, like, name guys are here at this practice.
Is Aaron Jones there, Jason? The only reason I ask is it seems like he's been kind of in lockstep every step of the way here throughout the OTAs.
I don't think so. I don't see him. I know. I'm also going to guess that the players that had workout bonuses reached a point that they satisfied the requirements to receive it, and so they don't need to be here today. But, like, I don't see, and again, I'm staying at one end of the field so I don't do radio in the midst of other people that are trying to work their own jobs, but I don't see Billy Turner here. And Billy Turner's another one, like Aaron Jones, who throughout the first session of OTAs, he was here for those workouts. So I'm guessing that if you don't have to worry about achieving the 80% attendance to get your workout bonus, you felt like you could take this week off, because it appears like a lot of people did.
So this isn't a big deal like the first practice when the receivers weren't there and it's like, where's all the receivers? This one's like, okay, it's fine that no one's really here except like the guys that are just trying to scrape the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Matt LaFleur's not talking to us today. Normally he does talk after practices, and he's postponed it to Thursday. But I would say this, it's not a surprise like it was for that first practice, right? Because I think we all kind of had an inkling that Devontae wouldn't be here. You know, he's in the last year of his contract. A lot of veterans league-wide were passing up working out at OTAs. And he may have negotiated something that allows him to get his workout bonus just by showing up for mini camp and by doing the virtual stuff from home. So I don't know the particulars for him, but I think we all kind of talked about that first day. You know, Devin Funchess, been out of football for quite a while, missed all of last season while opting out because of COVID. I think we felt like he should have been here, or there were those that felt he should have been here. Equanimeous St. Brown, also in that group. Now, EQ is here. So he stuck around after not taking part in those other OTAs, but he appears to be the only one. Your guy MVS, whose Twitter feed you enjoy so thoroughly, he's not here. So it appears that most of those wide receivers have taken the last week off, as they took the first couple of weeks off of OTAs.
Practice just beginning. It's the final block of organized team activities. Following this block, it's about 6 weeks until training camp begins. That's certainly a time where coaches and GMs and front office personnel get a little nervous, as the police blotter tends to pick up a little bit. Hopefully that's not the case in Green Bay. We will check back in with Jason coming up on the other side. We've got Wonelli to get to as well. Plenty more on Wildy and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Like that, my head still takes me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. Oh, we were such a mess. Why wasn't it the best? Thought it was done, but I guess it's never.
I'll tell you. tell you what, an underrated, sneaky great sports day. We've got OTAs wrapping up. We'll get information out of Green Bay. We'll check in with Jason in just a moment. Bucks and Nets, game five tonight in Brooklyn. Kyrie out. James Harden upgraded from out to doubtful. And the Brewers take on the Reds later tonight at American Family Field after losing the opener of a three-game series. The sounds of the horns and whistles can only mean one thing. Jason is either on the field or very close to it as the Packers are on the field with their block of organized team activity practices. Hello, Jason.
I am going through the gauntlet right now, working on my ball security. I'm looking pretty good. I could probably jump into the tight end drills because Brandon Kafusi is the only one that's here that's healthy. Josiah DeGuara appears to be trying to convince Justin Outen to let him to do a little tight end drills, but all the rest of the tight ends aren't here, including Jay Sternberger, who I have not seen. Well, obviously the news broke last week that he has a two-game suspension coming to start the season. I'm not sure why he's not here. We'll see if we can get an answer on that. Also, Aaron Jones is here. He was hanging out with the quarterbacks. So the Pro Bowl running back is, in fact, in attendance. He's by far the highest profile player who was taking part in this final week of OTAs. By the way, talked to somebody here at practice who clarified this for me. This appears to be something of a compromise to answer Jesse's question, to let the veterans get out of here and give the young guys some work. And they still get credit towards their workout bonuses by logging on and taking part in the virtual portions of the sessions today. So if you were worried about your roster or your workout bonus, you're getting to take advantage of it, even though you're not here. So that's great for those veteran players who obviously would be happy to pocket that check. So that is the update here from Clark Hinkle Fields.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back five of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Okay, so the Packers' biggest rival is the Chicago Bears. Would there ever be, or has there maybe ever been conversation of banning the navy blue and orange colors from Packers facilities of any kind? Jason, have
not
you ever
to my knowledge.
No one's ever thought of doing that.
I do believe that this is a something that my friends who either attended or worked at Marquette have said has occurred with the color red in their facilities for their the dislike of the Badgers that Tausch and I have not quite figured out yet from our Marquette friends.
That makes sense. It seems a bit drastic, especially when compared to what many would say is one of the best rivalries in all of sports. But at the Michigan football facilities, head coach Jim Harbaugh has decreed the color red is no longer allowed. That includes clothing. That includes sports drinks. Anything that's red is not allowed at Michigan. This is in response to Ohio State not permitting anyone to wear the colors maize and blue that are affiliated with Michigan. Push-ups or some other exercise are usually enacted as the punishment at Ohio State if that takes place. Greg, is this stupid or is this great?
No, it's classic Jim Harbaugh. You know what else isn't allowed under Harbaugh's watch with Ohio State? Yeah, wins. Yeah, that doesn't happen either.
Nice.
So it's a classic response by a jackass who's trying his best to keep his job. I don't know how he's maintained his job this long. We're going to beat Ohio State. We're going to play for titles. Yada, yada, yada. Michigan football. Yee. It does not surprise me because it's Harbaugh behind it. But you got to win. Right, you can do that stuff when you start beating Ohio State. Until then, save all the garbage for later.
Jason, brilliant or stupid?
Completely stupid.
Although it's good to get dyes out of your diet. So if those are that red dye, that's not good for you. What is it, red 40? So good on Jim Harbaugh. Actually, Greg, the point you make maybe favors Jim Harbaugh more than you realize, because until you chimed in, people have been talking about this, but no one has said, you know, maybe you should try winning instead of banning colors from your facility. And he definitely has not done that frequently enough during his tenure. He was oversold, I would think, to alumni.
Whoa, Nelly!
Next up, we have another great soundbite from TNT NBA analyst Charles Barkley last night on TNT.
Can I give a shout out? It's important.
Yeah, yes.
I want to give a shout out to a guy. He's a Georgia Bulldog.
Hey!
His name is Matt Powell. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I lost my wallet today, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Powell, P-Y-L-E-S, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle. And I didn't even know it.
Charles Barkley using his NBA on TNT platform to thank the guy who returned his wallet that he lost at Chipotle. Is this something we should start doing? Should we start shouting out random people we encounter on a daily basis?
Well, it is nice and kind that he returned his wallet.
I find myself
just wondering what Charles' order at Chipotle was. Like, do you think he's a double meat guy? And if so, do you think Charles is smart enough to wait for that first scoop of meat to put down before he says, can I get double meat? Because then you really are getting double meat. Because if you say, I want double meat right away, you're probably getting maybe 3/4 of a scoop for each instead of the full Monty. So I want to know what Charles' order was and if he does know the double meat trick.
This has been Inside Chipotle with Greg Matzik.
I'm not going to complain about that tidbit, because that's news you can use, is what that is. That is helpful. I did not know about that trick. That is a magnificent trick. I suppose you can't necessarily use it if you are if you're ordering on the app, but I am totally on board with this. I'm going to start utilizing this trick. Well done. Forget about Charles Barkley. To me, the biggest news here is that there's a way to scam more meat on your double meat.
Whoa, Nelly!
When's the last time you guys lost your wallets? For me, it's been years. I have not had an issue losing the wallet.
I don't want to say it, because then I'm risking losing it, aren't I?
It's a jinx element to it. Like legit lost, probably 15 years ago. But I mean, I feel like I lose it once a week, but I always end up finding it. It's, you know, some in the car seat or whatever. But probably about 15 years ago otherwise.
The wallet's one thing I always feel like. The phone I can lose, the keys I can lose track of, and you spend a few minutes looking for it. The wallet, I always know where it is. Never had the issue with the wallet. I feel pretty good about that, so.
Good man.
That sounds like a jinx to me.
Whoa, Nelly!
We'll see about that. Speaking of Chipotle, last one here. Weird news day on Whoa, Nelly, but here's a fun one. U.S. champion track and field runner Shelby Houlihan has been banned 4 years for testing positive for a steroid, and she blames the result of the test on eating pork out of a burrito. She said she's learned it's been long understood by the World Anti-Doping Agency that eating pork can lead to a false positive for the drug that she tested positive for, which is a performance-enhancing substance. Good excuse, Greg, to blame the pork for testing positive for a steroid?
Well, you can always blame the pork, if you'd like. How much merit there is in blaming the pork, I think, is in question. Is this like the poppy seed muffin thing? Like, you test positive for opium if you have, like, 6 poppy seed muffins? Right, like Elaine, she couldn't go overseas because she kept testing positive for opium. She kept eating those poppy seed muffins, Jason. That was my first thought when reading up the spiked pork.
Yeah, when you sent this, I don't... first of all, great segue by Jesse from Chipotle to a burrito causing a positive test. That is
He is a professional radio announcer, and we know that now. This has been solidified with this performance. That said, no, I don't believe her. And I'm always fascinated. Now, maybe she... Now, I will say this. If it's true, I will apologize. But I am a skeptic going in on this take. I think that any reasonable person would feel that way, don't you?
Well, you're asking me, and I say yes. You're asking Jesse, and he's the one who believes there should be an asterisk next to the Bucks' victory over the Brooklyn Nets in this best-of-seven series. So
yeah,
I don't know if we can trust the answer coming out of his mouth.
Look, all I'm saying is we can give people the benefit of the doubt sometimes, and there's not always excuses that are valid, but there are reasons that can be valid, and if pork causes a false positive, and it means that she can't run because she got a false positive, then... You know what? I think we all owe her another burrito once her running career is over.
Like, well, and we can probably double. Jason is not far from a Chipotle, by the way. Like, I would argue he's walking distance from a Chipotle being at Clark Hinkle Field. We could test the double meat theory and buy a burrito to ship to this runner in the event that her story does reign true.
Do you think she got double meats? Do you think double meat was the cause?
Probably leads to
false
positive.
Took an extra pork.
Yeah.
That could be, right? Yeah, I'm saying there's logic there. Well, let's overnight her a burrito. Let's get Jason down for the double meat trick. I would love to hear more on that. We'll wrap up Wildy and Tausch on the other side after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
On air, online, and on demand. Get all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin content anywhere you get your podcasts for free. The new Wisconsin On Demand. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Yeah, some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice.
We're wrapping up Wildy and Tausch on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, Bucks and Nets tonight, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals. Milwaukee will need a win at some point on the road if they want to advance. Kyrie Irving out. James Harden upgraded from out to doubtful. Hey, a win is a win.
Are we taking it to the bank, Greg?
You tell me what the poll says, but I would say yes. This is the one you have to get. Because it's certainly possible that Harden could come back. I think Irving's done. It's possible Harden could come back maybe for a Game 7, and that would be, of course, in Brooklyn. So this is the one you have to get. This is one you take it to the bank. The Bucks need to win this game.
90% of fans, by the way, say all wins are equal. There are no asterisks, which is ridiculous, but...
Fair enough.
You know...
I have turned up my stim machine to 8, making good on my promise from earlier in the show. It does not feel good. I now understand why it says gorilla panic at this level, and I'm going to turn it down now as we welcome back Jason Wildy from Packers camp.
Aaron Jones, God bless him, he's the only... Well, I mean, I suppose Jordan Love is here. He might be the week one starter for all we know, but he is the only starter that is here in attendance. Good for him. Good on you, Aaron Jones. Nicely done, sir. Otherwise, I'll
offense
tell you what,
and defense.
I am not down at the defensive end because I'm continuing to chat with you guys. But I have not seen another offensive starter. Good correction there. I will have to confirm and I'll join Greeny or whatever comes up next instead. I will say this, the guy that has really intrigued me, and this team does have some history of finding, what was that movie, Uncut Gems? Kurt Benkert has intrigued me. He has thrown the ball, I would argue, better than Blake Bortles has at the practices I've attended, and that has caught my eye. We'll see once they start playing for real in training camp, but he is better than I expected him to be. I am impressed.
So an arm talent, is that what you're seeing, right? Because it's less about decision-making, handling the rush, right? I suppose there was a component of that last week.
But he didn't get many chances. Yeah, he didn't get many chances in those. You know, they've given almost every rep they can to Jordan Love in those 11-on-11 periods. So I think Kurt Benkert ran 1 2-minute drill. I think Blake Bortles ran one. But, yes, in terms of arm talent, he has thrown the ball well, and it has definitely got my attention.
So on a day like today, Jason, and I know we're wrapping up here, but is there something that you're looking specifically for, or is it just a is this kind of the end of the line for OTAs and
other players I recognize? Yeah, I'm trying to find players I recognize. This is amazing. There's 35 guys that aren't here, so it is definitely a small gathering. But every opportunity, as you well know, Greg, every time you're out on the field is an opportunity to get better. And we'll see who takes advantage of that. Juwan Winfrey is the other guy that you keep in mind. And we can talk more about him tomorrow. But he's an intriguing guy at wide receiver as well.
Awesome, Jason. Enjoy the rest of your day at Packers camp. And, of course, Jason will be on a variety of programming throughout the afternoon on ESPN Wisconsin. So check out his work in covering the Packers. I will be back tomorrow as Tosh is off yet another day. So it's a treat for me to be on this program. I'm looking forward to being back. Of course, you can catch all of our programs in their entirety on WisconsinOnDemand.com. Download the free Wisconsin On Demand app. Have a great rest of the day on ESPN Wisconsin.